As we begin another week, as we begin another month, it is great to begin it in the house of God, to hear the word of God proclaimed, to sing songs of praise, and to fellowship one with another. I've chosen as a text this morning Romans chapter 2, verses 5 through 6, because it talks about the subject we're going to address in the sermon today. As the Apostle Paul was directed to write to the brethren there at Rome, in this particular portion we see, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up to thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of his righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds." You know, some things are not good when they're hard. They don't work as they should. They're perhaps not so beneficial to us. In fact, some things that have become hardened are harmful. And we'll see that this morning. But a few things that perhaps are not good when they're hard are biscuits. I love a good biscuit. But I don't like hard biscuits. You can't break them open that easily. They don't chew as easily. Hard water makes washing clothes and bodies more difficult. You ever try to take a shower and rinse off with hard water? Seems like the soap multiplies, doesn't it? Petrified wood. Not good for building a fire. If you've ever seen petrified wood, you'd think it was stone. That's how hard it is. And plastic can become hard, so hard and brittle it easily breaks. And if it's designed for a particular purpose and it breaks, it's no good for that purpose anymore. And there are is another thing that can harden. And when it hardens, it creates trouble for man. That object is the heart. So this morning, we want to discuss the idea of the tragedy of a hardened heart. There are many things in this world that could be classified as tragedies. Sometimes people call things tragedies that are not tragedies. They're perhaps difficulties, they're perhaps disappointments, but they're not necessarily tragedies. They may even be hardships. But the tragedy of a hardened heart ranks, as far as I'm concerned, above the tragedy such as what happened in Kansas this morning, or late yesterday evening. Tornado ripped through a community. The devastation was horrific. Fortunately, very few lives, if any, were lost. But the greatest tragedy of all is the tragedy of a hardened heart. Let's discuss the heart for just a minute. You might be thinking, you know what, if my heart here on my chest, in my chest, becomes hardened, it might not work as it should. Yeah, that would be a very difficult situation. It has to remain pliable, but that's the physical heart. That's the blood pump. And the Bible uses the heart, speaking of the mind. And so we're going to talk about the spiritual heart. It is no doubt that it would be a tragedy if all of a sudden your blood pump became calcified, couldn't pump, while you'd have a heart attack and die. But there are many people that are walking around with a pliable blood pump that have a hardened spiritual heart. The spiritual heart is man's control center. Oftentimes I want to tell people, and oftentimes I try to stress the point when I talk about the Bible heart, I will point to the side of my head, the location of my brain, where my thought process begins, where my actions are formulated, and my brain tells my body what to do. The will, the reasoning, the understanding, the motives that a person has, the emotions that we exhibit, they all begin in the mind. Spiritual responses begin in the mind, the spiritual heart. A couple of verses I want to call to your attention so that we might grasp this concept. The first, of course, is Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. We know what has happened. God looked down upon his creation, which was good. In fact, he said several times, this is good. And then one time he said, it is very good. Everything that God created is good. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. But he looked down and in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. We know how that played out. We know that he had Noah build an ark. And the hardness of those people's heart was so great that they could not even obey one commandment. Get on the ark. That's all they had to do. Another verse is Luke chapter 5 and verse 22. We fast forward it in time until Jesus Christ came. And he was talking to the people there, and he knew, of course, what they were thinking. And it says, but when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? This tells us this is not the blood pump. This is the place of reasoning in their minds, their thoughts, their intents, their perception of that which had been taught to them. And in speaking to his disciples in John chapter 14 in verse 1, as Jesus was preparing himself and preparing them to leave, he knew that he came here to be crucified, to die upon the cross, and in so doing purchase the church so that man could overcome a hardened heart and be in a good relationship with God. He said to them, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. What a beautiful, beautiful sentiment is put forth there in the 14th chapter of the book of John. If you've not read that recently, perhaps you should. But the heart plays a vital part in our spiritual lives. In fact, it plays a crucial role in every individual's salvation. There's not a person that has been saved or that will be saved that has not had to use their spiritual heart to reason about the information that has been provided for them, to make a decision to choose, and then to act upon that choice. In fact, in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, we see that the greatest commandment that has ever been given involves the spiritual heart. When Jesus was teaching there while he was here, and the greatest commandment was asked of him, what is the greatest commandment? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. People say, well, he said heart and he said mind. Which one was he talking about? He was talking about the both of them. With your heart, your spiritual heart, your mind, your intellect, your soul, everything that is in you, everything that makes you, is to be used in service to God because you love him to that degree. In conversion, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, the Lord seeks to prick our hearts with his word. We know what happened there. Those people on gathered together at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 were gathered together from every nation under heaven. They were all Jews, but they needed to hear a message so that their heart could be turned toward the Lord. Acts 2:37 says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. What pricked them? The word of God. What had the word of God relayed to them at this point? That they'd crucified the Son of God. And so the obvious question, men and brethren, what shall we do? And of course, they were told the words that would lead them to salvation, present before them an opportunity and a choice, which they might reason and make the choice. It's incredible when you stop and think about it. You say, well, 3,000 souls were baptized into Christ. What a gospel meeting. I hate to think about how many had a hardened heart and rejected the word of God. We are also to believe in our hearts. In Acts chapter 8, verses 36 and 37, we see that a situation had existed. The Spirit had directed Philip to go and join himself to the eunuch, and to the chariot in which the eunuch rode. He did so, and he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as he did, he came to a conclusion. The eunuch had obviously heard the word of God. And in verse 36 we see, "And as they went their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?'" And notice, if you will, the response of Philip in verse 37. Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And the eunuch put his hand over his chest and said, "I believe." Wait a minute, I didn't read that right. "And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.'" What happened? He affirmed what he knew in his mind, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, removing the one thing that prevented him from being baptized. We know that just after that, they went both down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. That's important. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, we also see that we are to believe from the heart. Of course, other parts of our body are used as well. We must obey physically as we commit ourselves to God spiritually. He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Why is that important? That's important because that is proof positive that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came forth from the grave, resurrected to die no more. He says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And so we know that we are to believe in our hearts, but we're also to obey with our hearts, as Romans chapter 6 and verse 17 indicates. Those Roman brethren, those to whom the Apostle Paul would be directed to write this letter, given the words "by the Spirit," we see that he at this point says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you." And we know that form of doctrine, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. These Roman people had obeyed with their hearts. Everyone must obey with their hearts because our actions, every one of them, began in our spiritual heart. But what about the hardened heart? You know, God wants to prick our hearts with his powerful word in order to elicit a faith response that will bring man into a saving relationship with God. Perhaps the word pricks our heart to the point we ask a question, just like those Jews back in Acts chapter 2. Perhaps just like the Ethiopian eunuch, we hear the word of God proclaimed, we begin to ask questions. Why? Because our mind, our heart, is thinking on these things. We're desiring to know. However, if the heart is hard, that's hard to say. That won't take place. You know, the Bible warns about the hardening of the heart. If you'll turn to the book of Hebrews, we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to find three verses there in that same chapter that warnings are given about or against a hardened heart. We know that this book was written to Hebrews. That tells us these were those who were Jews, formerly those who practiced Judaism, followed God under that system when that system was in place. However, that system had been taken out of the way, had been nailed to the cross, and these Hebrews were being enticed to go back under that law by the Judaizers that did not accept the Lord, by those, quite frankly, that had hard hearts. And in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 8, we see that the penman was directed to write and admonish, "Harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness." That's part of their history. They knew what took place in the wilderness. They knew the damage that was done, the lives that were lost, the effect of a hardened heart. In verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 3, again, we find an exhortation, an admonition. "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Here we get a glimpse into what will harden a heart. Sin, the interreaction of sin within the mind of a person will cause it to become hardened. And in verse 15, again, the same penman by the same Spirit said, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. What is the process of the hardening heart? It's not difficult to understand. First, a person hears God's word, maybe from a preacher, a teacher, a friend. Maybe they're given a tract, given a CD to listen to, or something of that effect. Second, the person then rejects God's word. Why? Well, perhaps they don't believe the facts. Perhaps they have preconceived notions. Perhaps they think that they already know what they need to know. And then the heart begins to harden. You know, other factors can quicken the hardening process. Pride, false teaching, sin in one's life, disappointments, struggles in life, evil influences. But the more the person hears the word and the more times he refuses to comply with it, the harder the heart becomes. You know, I've talked to people that in times past were faithful members of the body of Christ. And I've asked them, does it bother you to miss services? Yeah, you know, it really does. And then 5 or 6 months down the road, when it's not to the point, you've not seen them for a bit. You contact them, you tell them you love them, you tell them the Lord loves them, you remind them of all of this, and you ask them, well, doesn't it bother you to miss services? No, I don't get anything out of it. What's happened? That heart has become hard. The more times they refuse to comply with the word of God, the harder the heart becomes. Remember, the same sun that melts the wax hardens the clay. It will have a different effect depending upon what that mind is focusing on, what it's made up of. The person's hearing becomes dull. You know, I've had the privilege to preach in a number of different places. I'm not as well traveled as preachers of days past, when a preacher stayed in a place a couple years, or if he was lucky. But I still have had the privilege to preach in a number of different congregations down through the years, sometimes just filling in, sometimes because I was granted the opportunity to do so. And there are times when you can tell when someone's heart is hardened. I suspect the school teacher knows the same thing. You're teaching the class and all of a sudden everybody's riveted. I mean, they're just focused in and everything. And then you lose one or two. Their eyes begin to wax over. They're not with you anymore. What happened? That heart is becoming hardened. They've shut you out. Their hearing becomes dull. His heart manifests less emotion. The conviction needed to manifest faith becomes less and less. And the truth of the matter is, each person must be the guardian of his or her heart. We understand that from a physical standpoint, don't we? You go to the doctor and the doctor says, well, I hate to tell you this, but you have some issues. You're going to have worse issues if you don't do something about your heart. Lower your cholesterol. Go out and take walks. My wife told me the only time I like to walk is when I have a golf club in my hands. I think she might be right. But I did tell her, whenever you want to walk, let me know. We'll go. But if the doctor tells you, you need to walk, you need to get out and do things, your heart is becoming hard, what are you going to do? You're going to say, well, that's just the way it goes. No. You're going to maybe change your diet. Hopefully you won't take every drug he offers. I won't get into that. But you've got to be the guardian of your heart. You need to be the guardian of your blood pump. But you also need to be the guardian of your mind. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I passed out before we had the service this morning. I passed out a bookmark. There were several in the foyer, and you may already have one in your Bibles, but I passed out another one, and it's called Heart Trouble. And I was looking over this yesterday, and I looked to see if I had some of these passages. in the sermon. Because it's important that we understand that we can have heart trouble if we don't take care of our heart, if we're not the guardian of our heart. Stop and think about the necessity of this verse. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are all the issues of life. Physically, if you don't take care of the blood pump, your life's not going to last long. Spiritually, if you don't take care of the spiritual heart, you're going to suffer for eternity. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 12, you see, apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears unto the words of knowledge. These words of knowledge come from God. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 19, just a few verses down. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. I have so much to say. I could preach until midnight. I'm not going to. I know some have to go to work and some are hungry. So I want to make sure we understand the necessity of taking care of our hearts. We have numerous individuals harden their hearts in Bible time. We know Pharaoh. Exodus chapter 8, verse 15, and many other places there. As Moses and Aaron dealt with Pharaoh, he hardened his heart. He made a choice. And each time he became more hardened, it took the death of his firstborn son to allow him to leave, to let the Israelites leave. And of course, then he chased after them to his doom. In Nehemiah, chapter 9, verses 16 through 17, we won't read this, but the Jews during their wilderness wanderings, you know what? They weren't even a day or so away from Egypt. Freedom. They had freedom. What did they do? They hardened their hearts and began to do some of the same things that they saw in worship to heathen gods. It says they hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments. This should tell us what it means to work on keeping our mind correct. Follow the commandments of God. King Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 9 through 11. You know what happened with Saul? He hardened his heart against God. Why? For fear of the people. But that's what the people wanted. What do the people want today? They should want the truth. They should want their hearts pricked. Why? Because Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Can you believe even the apostles suffered at times with hardened hearts? In Mark chapter 6 and verse 52, it tells us, they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. If an apostle of Jesus Christ could suffer with a hardened heart, do you think maybe we could? The Jews to whom Stephen spoke, of course, he called them stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Why? You do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Acts chapter 7 and verse 51. Now let's get to the point of the sermon. I know we only got about 10 minutes left, but let's talk about the tragedy of a hard heart. What is the tragedy of a hard heart? We have missed opportunities. You know, there are some things that come along in life that we might refer to as a remarkable opportunity. Yet we miss the opportunity. Why? Maybe we have a hardened heart. Business opportunities, investment opportunities, an opportunity to network, an opportunity to have a new friend, an opportunity to reach a soul with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we have a hard heart, we're going to miss all of those opportunities and more. Many of us could probably talk about the opportunities we missed. Can you imagine standing before God, remembering the opportunity that you had to obey the gospel, and you did obey the gospel, and you belonged to God, and somewhere down the line your heart became hardened? You know, in life, sometimes people reject. Acts chapter 13 and verse 46, we see that the Jews of Antioch had the opportunity to hear the word, to obey the word. Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God first should have been spoken to you. But seeing ye have put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of seeking everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." What had they done? They'd hardened their hearts against the truth. They refused to receive Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as the Savior of the world. They refused to receive salvation for their souls. That's what a hardened heart will do for you. It makes it impossible to obey the truth. People say, well, I've already obeyed the truth. Oh, but if you have a hardened heart, you will cease submitting to the will of God. Remember 2 Peter chapter 2? It talks about the latter end shall be worse than the beginning. Why? Because they heard the word of God, and then they allowed their heart to become hardened. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, we find a situation of one getting to the point where they can no longer serve God. Why? Because their heart has become so hardened, so entrenched in sin. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good word to come and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again into repentance, seeing they crucified of themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. You know why some of those Jews left Christianity and went back to Judaism? Because of a hardened heart. Why do you think a Christian goes back into the world? A hardened heart. It's a tragedy. What we have there is a soul that is lost. Remember the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 23. In this particular place, he said, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He was talking to the Jews, those who would be given the opportunity to obey the word of God. Those who, after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and his resurrection and his ascension to the Father, had developed a hard heart and would not receive him. If one has a hardened heart, they're also going to have eternal regret. You know, we don't know exactly what's going to happen when we pass from this body. But we have every indication in Luke chapter 16 that there's going to be eternal regret for those who have a hard heart. Stop and think about the scenario that's presented in Luke chapter 16. We have both of these people. They are sons of God. They are children of God because both of them were Jews under that particular law. And in Luke 16 verse 25, we'll see what Abraham is saying to the rich man. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. It's interesting as you read this. I never fail to be amazed by the way that this is put forth. When it says both of these men died and it says Lazarus died and the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom, if I remember correctly. And it says about the rich man, and he died and was buried. And then it says, and in torment, he lifted up his eyes. Remember, eternal regret. If indeed we live this life, and each of us are living it, each person who is born will live their life, will there be eternal regrets? I'll guarantee you this, if you have a hardened heart, there will be eternal regrets. Because if you have a hardened heart, you're not going to serve God as you should. The lost will have the ability to recall their missed opportunities while suffering in hell. There's a song, we don't sing it very often, you never mention him to me. Will there be those that you've never mentioned Jesus Christ? The saving power of the gospel, the love of God, the salvation of a soul? Could we possibly be the reason some people have become to have a hardened heart? Because we've not told them, we've not warned them, we've not admonished them? There will be regret. It will be an eternal regret. For all who have a hardened heart, and that is a tragedy. You know, the heart of man is a beneficial asset. It is something that we all possess, regardless if we're rich or poor. Whatever our status in life, we all have a mind. We have a spiritual heart. And we need to strive to make that heart an honest heart. Turn with me to Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. What will an honest heart do? Well, it'll do what a hard heart will not do. An honest heart will receive the word of God, and then, and only then, can it become a good heart. Oftentimes we hear in prayers, we hear people talk about a good and honest heart. I guess it flows off the tongue a little better, right? But look at the scripture. What does it say? But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, honest comes first. An honest heart is one that will receive the word of God that is not hardened, and it becomes a good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. How do we avoid the tragedy of a hard heart? Well, there's the answer. Receive the word of God. Well, I already have. How much of it have you received? Oh, we've heard that before. We've studied that before. We've gone over that before. Every time I read the Word of God, something new comes to mind. Some better understanding comes to mind. You know, if we fail to guide and govern and guard our hearts, they can become hardened to God's Word. That happens. We've seen evidence of it happen. If that happens, though, to us, we will miss the opportunity to be saved. There are going to be those that will argue the point, well, I've already obeyed the gospel. I am saved. The Bible nowhere teaches once saved, always saved. That's why it's important to guard against a hardened heart. Not allow that to become a tragedy for us. We may possibly reach a point wherein some will never reach an understanding. Some will never obey the gospel. I've known of people, and I've heard of people that attended services sometimes more faithfully than the members. In fact, I heard about one who could quote scripture probably better than many of the members. But he would not obey the gospel. I know a person, hopefully between the last time I saw him and now, he's obeyed the gospel. But when his wife, his mother, were out of town, he, not a Christian, would be at services. Not just at services, but at Bible study as well. But at that point, he never obeyed the gospel. What's the danger? Getting a hard heart and never obeying the gospel. What happens then if we don't obey the gospel, or if we once obey the gospel and then become hard-hearted? Our souls are going to be lost in eternity. We will live with those memories, and we will have that regret forever. Can you not agree that that is a tragedy? I think we all can. So what do we do about it? Well, if you've not obeyed the gospel, you can obey the gospel. You can allow the word of God to penetrate your heart, your mind, and obey the gospel. How do you do it? Well, one is to hear Romans 10:14. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Hebrews 11:6 and other passages. Repent of sins, Acts 26:20 is a great example of this. Confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Matthew 16:15-16. And be baptized into Christ, 1 Peter 3:21. But what about those of us who have already obeyed the gospel? How do we avoid becoming hard-hearted? We'll turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. We see a passage there that tells us that once we have become children of God, once we have allowed the word of God to change us, and we have chosen to obey that gospel, then we can avoid having a hard heart by remaining faithful until death. It's part of the gospel plan of salvation. 2 Timothy 4:6-8, the Apostle Paul was granted the privilege to write and directed to write, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." If indeed we remain faithful unto death, we can avoid the tragedy of having a hardened heart. Perhaps this morning there are some here that realize that perhaps their heart has become a little hardened. They've allowed sin within their lives, and perhaps they've not addressed this sin according to the Bible. What does the Bible say to do for a Christian who is starting down that path toward a hardened heart, the tragedy that goes along with it? They're to repent and pray. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." Our song this morning for invitation is extremely fitting. I think Linda does a great job in picking out the songs. I wish I did as great a job at leading the songs. But nonetheless, it's a proper song. Prepare to meet thy God. Are you prepared, or is your heart becoming hardened? If you've not prepared, you need to do so. If you're not a child of God, become one today. If you are a child of God and you're in error, you know that error, address it properly. If you have sinned and it's a private sin, repent of that sin and pray for forgiveness. If it's a public sin, won't you come as together we stand and sing this song?